You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What it is, what it do, welcome to Fresh Take. We are very, very honored today, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot. We're very honored today to bring in the Director of Basketball Operations for the CEBL, the one and only Jason Tom.
How you doing, Josh? Thanks for having me, man. It's we're close to tip-off, so it's an exciting time for us for sure right now.
It is. I want to talk a little bit about your career, talk about the league. You know, it's good timing on my part to get you, I guess. And I guess I got to go to the big news that just you guys got your first Shams bomb last night.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. You know, Thursday night peak time for dropping media information, apparently. But yeah, man. I mean, a pretty big signing, and obviously comes hand in hand with having the OVO crew as part of the CEBL now.
Yeah, I think everything you guys have been able to do the last 5 weeks, even to have the draft, I thought, and have players from U Sport, and even started the conversation. I know of ACAC talents, like, hey, what can we do to get part of this league? Right. I think having that conversation was really, really cool. Having the draft there was really cool. Having the game out here in Calgary and getting that attention was really cool. I was honored to be a little bit part of that. I think that you guys have definitely been able to build up a nice buzz the last handful of weeks here. And the J. Cole thing was kind of a cherry on top.
Yeah, and you know, the J. Cole thing is not anything that the league, you know, necessarily does, right? That happens really naturally through the relationships with OVO and having, you know, the Scarborough Shooting Stars a part of the league now. So obviously, I mean, that doesn't happen without having the Scarborough Shooting Stars as a new franchise. But all the other things that you'd mentioned leading up to that point, I mean, that creates the momentum and creates the build and creates the environment where something like that can even happen, right? You know, a player, entertainer, artists like J. Cole doesn't join just any league, right? He wants to join a league that has an environment, that has a pathway. I mean, let's not get it twisted, man. Like, this guy has a goal to play professional basketball at the highest level he can reach. And, you know, he was a part of the Basketball Africa League, played a couple of games there. And the CEBL is now a pathway for players to get to the highest levels of basketball. We are a part of that pipeline, and that doesn't get built without all the hard work of the last 3 years. And it doesn't get built without a partnership with somebody with group like OVO and Sam Ibrahim, Nico Carino. That relationship doesn't happen unless the environment is there where they feel like they can come in and make it successful. So it really is a marriage of everything. You know, it's not one particular thing that does it, but it's everything building up together and then the brand management that comes alongside it.
You mentioned it. He's a good player. He played in NBA Africa. This is a guy that does have legitimate basketball skills. This isn't just some publicity stunt. This is a guy that has legitimate basketball skills that deserves an opportunity to showcase off those skills.
Absolutely. And I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, I've seen all the talk and I've had people reach out and, you know, when it comes down to it, if he can't play at this level, he's not going to play at this level, right? Like we have more talent in this league than we've ever had. So you're not going to be able to hide. You're not going to be able to fake it. And, you know, so the proof is going to be in the pudding when it comes down to it, when it comes to if he can play at this particular level. And the environment, again, is the environment where he feels comfortable, where he's going to get better. I mean, you look at the Scarborough Shooting Stars and who they have on the basketball side. Chris Exilis is the head coach. I mean, this is a legendary basketball player from the Scarborough area, played at the D1 level, has coached at a high level, has trained some very high level players. You have Jamal McGlure there as well. You have a great coaching staff that has experience in the CEBL to be able to teach him the ins and outs of FIBA. Don't forget, we have the Elam Ending. It's different than any other basketball league in the world. He is surrounded by people who are going to make him better. And, you know, wins and losses are one thing, but all of our players getting better and continuing to continue up that pathway is the most important thing. So, I mean, I think when it comes down to it, you know, I've heard the word, you know, publicity stunt thrown around. I mean, come championship weekend or even come a month into this season, whether we're talking about this still remains to be seen. But one thing we are going to be talking about is how good the level of basketball in the CEBL is. And again, how special this league is when it comes to being a pathway for the world of basketball.
Well, and you guys have had guys, you know, that have gone to the NBA. There's been one of the better turnovers from this league to the NBA that you've seen out of any leagues in anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any other league outside of the top European leagues overseas, and obviously the G League, which is directly connected to the NBA. Yeah. There's no other league that has sent players to the NBA level in such a short period of time. Right. I mean, four to five players just from our teams last year alone. And I think it's because we're a player friendly league. When it comes down to it, you know, we allow our players to continue to take advantage of these opportunities. We play in the summertime. Right. And that's also where there are tryouts. There's the summer league. There is the lead up to the NBA draft. There's a lot going on. A lot of leagues will not allow their players to take advantage of different situations like that. We allow that. We have that built into our contracts that you can take leaves for particular tryout opportunities related to FIBA or the NBA. So, you know, I think that's what it is. We're a player-friendly league. We put the players first. We make sure that they understand that they feel comfortable. We pay on a per-game basis. So our teams aren't committed beyond that as it is, right? I mean, I saw some, you know, kind of mentioning, oh, you know, the J. Cole signing is taking up a spot on a roster. Well, when it comes down to it, there are transactions allowed throughout the season that players can switch on and off, right? There's a certain limit of them. But when it comes down to it, there's an opportunity there that if after 10 games, that isn't a fit anymore, more opportunities come available. More Canadian players can come in to take those different spots. So it's a very unique basketball experience, and it's one that we put the players first, and it's always going to be that way.
And you talk about putting the players first. I think a really cool thing was seeing athletes from U Sport get drafted. I got a chance to watch a Mason Borsier calling games for the Dinos in the playoffs. This guy had the most triple doubles this season and was just an absolute unreal talent to watch. And now you can know these guys have life after U Sport, where some of them maybe he's like, yeah, maybe I can go to Europe, or maybe this is the end of my career. Now they can look at that goal. And I think specifically going to this U Sport season next year, there's going to be a lot of guys that be like, oh, okay, that's an option. So maybe I'll try harder. Maybe I got to get my tape out harder. And it, you know, for me as a broadcaster of a U Sport school, that's exciting too, to be like, hey, who could I pick that is going to be able to get to that level?
Yeah, and I think the fact that we can have undergraduates in as well, I mean, you've seen it time and time again. We have returning U Sports players, guys that have now played in the league. This will be their third year. So, you know, not only is that a great opportunity for the player, but I mean, this is such a great opportunity for all of the programs, right? You're getting players back that have played now in the summer with professional basketball players. They're coming back better than ever. And I mean, basketball is such a beautiful sport, because when you have better players involved in your league, that's not only good for your team to make your team better, it's good for the opponents as well, because it raises the level of competition across the entire league. I mean, this only means great things for the sport in every different level. And I think, you know, in my background in basketball, I mean, I've been involved with the CEBL since its inception in one way or another, but I've been involved in basketball for two decades, right? So I'm a part of this, and I want to see this succeed, even if I wasn't director of basketball, because of what it does for every different portion of basketball. You talk about the universities, and you know, why can't we have college players involved in this? Why can't we have ACAC schools sending players to this level? There's nothing saying we can't. And I think you're going to see that change, and everybody is going to have the opportunity to take advantage of what the CEBL provides. And it's only going to make great strides for basketball in general and Canada basketball at the national program level as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the ACAC and the CCAA. There was a big conversation, I know, in a few of the collegiate social networks when they saw U Sport athletes getting drafted and, you know, gave names like Sean Michael Clancy, who had a tremendous season, or Marcus Masters for State, and some of the great guys from your Humber Hawks. Congratulations on that. I'm a little bit bitter, obviously, being a Trojan, but that was a great, great, great championship game. What can we look forward to? Like you kind of mentioned that, you know, they have an opportunity to potentially get drafted maybe in the future here, depending how everything kind of evolves.
I mean, it's a logical next step, right?
Yeah.
You know, we already have, you know, we have a, again, player friendly league and team friendly league where practice players can come from all over Canada. As long as they are Canadian, they can be involved in practices throughout the year, as long as they, you know, are registered with our league. You know, I think you will, I think the Canadian colleges will be pleasantly surprised as the build continues towards this, and there's going to be no more excuses. And I've been involved in basketball at all different levels, and I've been guilty of it too, right? You point out the roadblocks, you point out the challenges. What the CEBL is doing is it's taking away a lot of those roadblocks, and will continue to do that moving forward. And now it's going to be on the athletic directors. It's going to be on the basketball programs. It's going to be on the basketball coaches, because you're going to have another tool to recruit. You're going to say, okay, you can go down and be a 10th or 11th man on a D1 school. Okay, you can go down and try the junior college route. But just so you know, there's an opportunity to play with professional basketball players for 3 months in the summertime up here in Canada. And you won't have that opportunity down at the NCAA level. So I think it's all about providing tools for our programs here to take away the excuses. And Mike Morreale is passionate about that. And I think we're making very positive strides towards more of that happening.
And you talked about your development of basketball players. You've been around it, obviously, with North Pole Hoops, which kind of put an offset. I was able to talk to some of the heads. I worked with FTF Soccer this past fall, and they said North Pole Hoops was a big reason for FTF Soccer even getting started. So you guys have been part with North Pole Hoops to grow up, and I think maybe even helping you and with the launch of CEBL of what North Pole Hoops was able to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's I talk about pathways for players all the time, but I think really it's pathways for people away from the game as well. And North Pole Hoops, I mean, I've looked at that and since my involvement, you know, in running the National Preparatory Association, the first National Prep League, which was actually very much a framework that the CEBL is obviously at the higher level, but it's the same sort of thing. We had teams in all those same markets that really mirrors what was done here at the pro level. And I think also, like, I mean, myself for an example, you know, being a commissioner of the NPA gave me the skills needed to be able to now be director of basketball of the CEBL, where I work with a great team that we all have different skill sets. But I wouldn't have had the skills needed to be able to be director of basketball without what I did at NPH and what I did with the National Preparatory Association, right? It gave me the skills needed to be able to do this. But then also, I think what we've been missing in basketball in this country is you've either been like a basketball guy or a basketball woman, where you're, you know, people, you know, the game, you know, the players, you have relationships, or you're an operations person where you went to university, you know, operations, you understand this, you understand business. You know, there was very few people who had both. And I mean, that's what this has given me the opportunity to do now, is really learn the business side and all the things that I didn't get from not going and taking, you know, a business administration course or anything along those lines. I mean, I'm a journalist. I'm a trained journalist. But because I went the basketball route, I also, with my media background, I do have a skill set that's very unique. But, you know, we need more of those people. And how do you get more of those people? Is by organizations like North Pole Hoops, putting on events and learning the basketball side and being able to do both. And I think that's what's been missing in Canada. And I think that's what my goal right now is at the grassroots level. I think the players are now taken care of. You can get a mixtape on any corner. You know, exposure isn't needed as much anymore because everybody can get it, because everyone has social media. I think my focus now is building the next basketball administrators to help support all the great things that are happening in the sport in this country.
Being around it, how have you noticed the growth of the game for both men and women? I mean, obviously in this NCAA tournament, we had so many Canadians. We have some peak ones coming up in the draft right here. And, you know, got Keaton Ernst leading on the WNBA side and a lot of other talented women, but we've definitely seen an increase of the game growing over the last handful of years.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a buzzword in media, and I guess I was involved in mainstream media for so long that it gets kind of, I don't want to say boring, but it's like, yeah. I don't know, like the crutch, like the golden age of Canadian basketball, yeah. And all the new wave of Canadian basketball. And it's like, that's very, very surface level, right? It's underneath the surface, all the other things. And what we are seeing now is a sustainable basketball system within Canada that has never been there ever before. And what that does is that not only allows us to keep Canadian basketball players home longer and throughout their entire pathway, but it allows us to attract players from elsewhere in the world. And that's the next step. And we see that now this year in the CEBL, right? Every team must have an international player from outside of Canada and the US. So that is our way of taking the step of saying we are an international destination for professional basketball players. But I'm already seeing that on the high school level as well. We're seeing international players come to Canada at the high school level in order to find their pathway to the NCAA. So it's naturally happening, but there's things that need to be done to support that. And I think that to me is kind of the missing piece from a story standpoint, from a media standpoint. It's one thing to see on the court. Oh, look at that. We have the second most NBA players and all those other things. Okay. But like what's being done here in Canada to support those players. So when they make the NBA, they have a tie to Canada. Not that they left Canada at the age of 15 to go to Montverde for 3 years. Then they went to the NCAA. Then they went to the NBA. Well, now they haven't been back in Canada and played in front of their fans and fans and family for a decade. So there's no connection there. And then we freak out when people don't play for the national program. And they're like, oh, well, where's their national pride? It's like, well, they're Canadian, but what connection do they have to the basketball people up here in Canada or the basketball infrastructure? Well, when you look deeper, there was no basketball infrastructure. So how do they feel any tie to an infrastructure that doesn't exist? But now over the last 4 years, we've seen that infrastructure be built. And I think that's where you're going to see the major change, both on the men's and the women's side.
I think that's so huge because it was something when I grew up playing ball or my sister did, and my sister had a much better career than I did, but that it just wasn't really seen and there was no real path afterwards. And now even talking to her yesterday, and she's kind of helping to try to grow it up in Cambridge in England right now, but having my sister, you know, and not having that infrastructure for her and for, you know, other players, I think it's nice that you guys, like you said, you know, I think, you know, just to throw a name out, kind of like Wiggins, right? Wiggins goes away, goes to the States for 4 years. And then like, you know, he came back this past year, but there was this prior years of people like you were saying, like, oh, where's Andrew Wiggins? Why isn't he playing for us? Well, there's a disconnection there all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, there's a disconnection. And then at the same time, I mean, these are players that are in different situations. I mean, I think one thing, you need to have a large pool of players. I mean, and when you look at the Team USA, and I just remember so often in covering Canada basketball, everyone's thought process was that we had to chase the US. I'm not saying Canada basketball. I'm talking about everybody kind of on the outside. Like, oh, now we have as many players as the US and the NBA, or sorry, the second most, so we should be able to compete with them. And then I kept saying, I was like, you know, we should not be chasing Team USA or the way the USA basketball does things, because we're never, not saying never, it's going to take a long time to have the athletes that they do. What we need to do is we need to structure our system like that in Europe. So we have a large pool of players and that we have them from a young age. And then when the age group assessments started coming in and the different age group championships, that was extremely important for Canada basketball because that allowed them to identify people earlier and then keep them around for longer. And that's where we're at now, that we have a larger pool of players. So when our NBA guys can't play, we still have very talented players that know each other and know a system. Now you want to take the next step. What was always missing, and I remember Leo Routon saying this from, you know, 15, 17 years ago when we first, you know, started together in creating more exposure for Team Canada, when it came down to it, we needed a domestic professional basketball league mm-hmm. that attracted talent. And we've had people try, we've had groups try, but the CBL has been able to make it actually happen. And the way they've been able to do it is by, which is the one thing that I would say I was very confused about when it first came together, was that this was a summer league. And I didn't understand how that was going to work, mostly because it hadn't happened before. But it makes perfect sense because you're not competing with the NBA, especially when you're talking about the Toronto Raptors and that being the focus of basketball fans here in Canada. How could you put a league on that plays during the same time as the Toronto Raptors and expect to get eyes and get butts in the seats? It's just not going to happen. But we've seen the success of the summer league and how that does work. And then when you want to now throw in the different opportunities that Canada Basketball is putting forth in the summertime by hosting events, we see the Global Jam that's coming up as well. Well, if there's Canadian players here at home that are playing domestically here, and then these different events pop up where they can then play for their national program at different age levels as well. Well, now you see how it all comes together. And I think that's been the biggest difference for the CBL is our partnership with Canada Basketball.
You guys are kind of, you can, or kind of on the way of being what the CFL is, right? Of this alternative league that you have in the summertime has the chance to have the crossover play, is ideally Canadian. And, you know, raises that level for players all over.
Yeah. And I you know, it's no mistake that our commissioner is a CFL champion and Hall of Famer. And he sees, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of what that league has done. And I mean, I'm sitting here in Guelph right now. And, you know, how does Guelph succeed as a basketball town? Well, you know, we see the way that they support their university football team, and that's the same type of stuff that we're trying to play off of. I mean, a basketball league doesn't necessarily work in markets that are strong in the OHL, right? There's a lot of different things that come into play for making this successful, and the grassroots basketball is another. But as you'd mentioned, like the CFL, it's being able to play on that sort of thing. I mean, we had our first championship ever in Saskatoon and it was great. And why? Mostly I would say the way that we knew that that market would work is because of the way they supported their CFL team. So there are a lot of similarities. And I think there's continual growth happening. You know, you see Scarborough being added as a team. Does that mean that every different borough in Toronto can support a basketball team in the CBL? Absolutely not. There's major cities in this country that I don't think would fully be the right fit. And that's where Mike Morreale's mind is at when it comes to expansion, is getting those right fits. And, you know, I had somebody ask me yesterday because we were talking about the Women's Basketball League, you know, a pro league. They said, okay, well, would it follow the same setup, you know, where there is one single entity owner owning the majority of the team? Scarborough's the one independently owned one. And I said, well, do you see anybody else stepping up with the money needed to not only own a franchise, but operate that franchise? And that's where things are still behind. Where we're still behind in Canada is corporate sponsorship. It's money to support the sport. Man, people don't realize that G League teams, for example, operate at a losing, like they lose money every year, right?
Of course.
Yeah. But people don't think that way. They say, there's people in the seats and this is happening, so they're making lots of money. I mean, the Raptors operate the 905 knowing that the value they're getting back is in the Fred VanVleet's, is in the Pascal Siakam's, is the development. And they know that the trade-off is there. But we just don't have that same mentality in basketball at every different level in basketball. And I think that is where the next switch has to come. And maybe that's where a J. Cole announcement changes things, right? I mean, people aren't going to jump on board and be able to create sponsorship dollars off that signing. But maybe it opens their mind up saying, oh, there's something going on here that I don't realize is happening.
Two things, and then I want to talk about your broadcast career, but I know you have limited time, so maybe I'll have to get to that another time. Again, thanks for your time. Two things to hit on. One, you kind of mentioned a women's league. What's the progress with that?
no update other than what the news has already been out there. Again, I think it's just a natural progression, right? Yeah. It's going to happen. You know, I think the keys for something like that, again, is making that fit around a WNBA season.
Mm-hmm. That's at the summertime too, right?
That's what I'm saying, right? So, yeah. You know, how does that work? How do we get the best talent? Because, and I mean, that's the other thing, man. Social media, I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's just, you know, it's amazing to see people go on there and be like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we need a WNBA franchise. Sign me up for season's tickets. Okay. So let's jump ahead to when that actually comes and you see the cost of season tickets and you see the schedule and you're like, oh, I can't make that. So like, it's one thing to say something, right? It's another thing to actually see those actions work. And I mean, that's why, you know, Toronto doesn't have a WNBA franchise right now, because they can't have that happen and have it fail, right? And so how does a WNBA franchise work in Toronto the best? Is when there's a domestic pro league in Canada that can work in conjunction with it.
Yeah.
That's the answer, right? So people say, oh, should we have a women's domestic league or should we have a WNBA team? The answer is that you need both. But in order to make both work, you need the people on board with the financial backing, right? And then you need it to make sense, both from the national program and all the different levels. I mean, what I see on a women's program, the women's league, the way I think it works the best is when we can get to the point that we have a partnership and understanding with prep teams, like obviously U Sports and CCAA, the NCAA, right? If the NCAA is allowing players their NIL rights, which absolutely they should. And I know that NCAA programs also have partnerships with European basketball leagues to allow their players to play over there in the summertime. That's what needs to happen next. Some of our best women's players are going to the NCAA D1 level. We need those girls available and those women available to play in the domestic pro league, because we're not at a point where we're going to get high level 30 to 37 year old women playing in a women's domestic league. We need talent from every level of the sport in Canada to be involved in this pro league. And I think those are the pieces that need to fall into place. And I'll be honest, man, there's a lot of pieces. I just named off a bunch of them there.
Yeah.
To have all of those come together, it's going to take some time, but it has to be done right. And Mike Morreale and the CEBL, long before I got here, have been making all the right moves, and we continue to do that now.
The question I got asked the most today when I asked people for questions, look, being where I was a Calgary team. I have minor reservations. I think it's a good basketball city, but, you know.
Calgary 88s lasted 4 years before they were gone. Calgary Drillers.
5 games. Calgary Crush. There was, you know, up and down stuff there. I think it's a good basketball city, but like you said, little different things have to happen. It's just not as simple as like, oh, Calgary's a big market. Look at the Flames. It's an entirely different discussion, obviously.
Yeah, and facilities. I mean, You saw, you know, again, thank you for the work that you put in for us when we were in Calgary there.
No problem.
For everything that you did and everything that all of our volunteers and workers did out there. But you saw the amount of work that went in to making that hockey facility that was built for the Olympics into a basketball court for two games. I mean, that's a lot of work. So where are we playing? Right. And that's always a question. Mike says it all the time. Commissioner Morreale says it all the time. I mean, there's thousands of facilities in this country and none of them are basketball specific. So when he goes and talks to different people, we want a team. Okay, great. You need to get your city to buy a floor, buy basketball nets. Get back to me after you've heard that conversation. And they kind of look at him sideways and go, what do you mean you want them to buy a floor? I thought you brought the floor. And his answer always back is like, okay, well, do the hockey teams bring the ice?
Yeah.
Right? The hockey teams don't bring the ice. No, because the ice machine's already made there and you have everything all set up. So that's the big challenge. And I think that's why the cities that you've heard mentioned as the next to come in expansion, they already have facilities that are just sitting there waiting for somebody to fill them. And that is one major piece to everything that we're doing in the CEBL.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's very exciting, Jason. And like I said, I'd love to get to deep into your broadcast career because it's long and deep, but I know you have a camp to get to, so I don't want to take too much more of your time. But first off, just congratulations on, you know, I've been with you and got to work with you back with North Pole Hoops and the Prep League and getting to see where you are now. So just from my side, big congrats of where you are now, your passion, everything like that is something that continues to drive me in my pursuit of my basketball side of things.
Hey man, like, and that's it. Like, I'm blessed. Like, it is not lost on me the opportunity that I have, and this job didn't exist a year ago. So, you know, and I know you're one of many people who are putting in the type of work that you're putting in. And all I can say is with what I'm doing, for example, and I don't want to use the word inspiration, because I think that's, you know, I'm definitely not, you know, here to inspire anybody, because I think that's too hefty of a crown to carry. But what I want to do is continue to build opportunities so people like yourself and anybody else coming up have a chance to get these different roles. I mean, the job I have is one of one. Is there going to be another job like this in a pro league in Canada? Not right now, right? But with everything that we just talked about in this conversation, it's going to create more job opportunities at every different level. And people like yourself just need to continue to have an open mind to know that you get in where you fit in, right? And if an opportunity comes up, it may not be what you thought. Did I think I was going to be director of basketball of the CEBL? Absolutely not. I was broadcasting this league for the first 3 years. But the opportunity comes up, I jump all over it. And now I'm going to be the best person at this position ever. But I just want to make sure that we continue to build more opportunities for people that want to be involved in basketball in this country. And 10 years from now, man, it's going to be a completely different world than what it was 10 years ago. That's for sure.
Thank you for your time. Best of the luck to the league. The league starts upcoming this Wednesday, so make sure you check it out. Where can everyone find the broadcast for everything? I know it's a bunch of different outlets.
Hey, man. The best way to do it is CEBL TV, and we just launched CEBL Mobile, the CEBL Mobile nice. App, and that has everything in one spot. I think that was trending yesterday before the J. Cole announcement.
Nice.
So it was a big day, but that's what I would do. Download that CEBL Mobile app, man, and it's amazing. And again, in North America, you can watch every CEBL game for free, either live or after the fact. So there's no reason, this doesn't have to be destination viewing. And the other thing I want to add, man, what I love about this is, like, so you're in Calgary. Mm-hmm. I would suggest you're probably not going to be a fan of the Edmonton team. So, but what's great about it is, like, you can just pick what team you want to be a fan of, right? Yeah. Like, and I think that's what's awesome. I mean, from covering, you mentioned my broadcasting career, from covering sports for as long as I have, like, I'm not a fan of a particular team anymore, right? But what's great is you can be a fan of the league and then just kind of watch all the game and be like, man, you know what? I really like this Rattlers team, right? Yeah. And what's awesome is the gear for all these teams is awesome too. And then you pick up a Rattlers hat and people are like, what team is that? And it's a cool looking gear. So you can literally just pick the team you want. It doesn't matter where they are. There's players from all over Canada. That's what's great about the CBL. If you're a fan of basketball in Canada, you can be a fan of all the teams or half the teams or whatever. It's a brand new league, man. You don't have to say, oh, I was born a Habs fan. I'm stuck a Habs fan. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be that way. You can pick it all from the beginning. You can change year to year, man. And then by the end of time, it's all said and done. You can have gear from all 10 teams. So just something that I thought was really interesting. If I was a fan of this league, not working within it, that's the way I would look at it.
Well, just like in League Pass sometimes, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to watch the Hornets because I'm going to watch LaMelo. Now you can, and that's my League Pass team, right? It's like Rattlers are my League Pass team for the CEBL.
Exactly. So
that's kind of cool to have, yeah.
Oh, I love it, man. But thanks for reaching out to me anytime. Yep. And yeah, we should set up another time where we just talk my broadcasting career, because I would love to be able to kind of provide that to people out there that want to know more about that. Because, yeah, I've been through a lot of different stuff, man. So I would love to be able to chat with that on another one for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks you again, Jason. Until next time, folks. Cheers. Enjoy the baby.